100% Aussie Angus beef, cheese, tomato relish and beetroot. Macca's Aussie Angus Deluxe. Two words, Aussie as.
The seven-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's most awarded large SUV ever. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer.
This is Sports Day.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to Sports Day. We're here thanks to the all-electric Kia EV6 GT supercar. Sam Hargraves with you on your Friday evening, joined by test cap number 410, Bryce McGain for Macca's Aussie Angus Deluxe. It's Aussie As. Good evening, Bryce.
Very, very good evening to you, Sam. And it's been a magnificent week, a shortened week. We love those. For the people that were taking a little break yesterday and for those that had to work today, well, so be it. But those have had the RDO today. Hey, smart. This is a perfect week.
Smart operators looked at the calendar a long time ago and went, oh, yep, there's a Thursday public holiday. I might just roll that into an annual leave day. The construction industry always knows to get a day off an RDO after a public holiday.
They are all over that activity. Yeah.
Yes. Most of my mates that are in said profession in and around Bendigo and some in Melbourne, yeah, they weren't working today. But we are, and we're very happy to be, and glad to be, because there's a lot happening in sport across the course of the next couple of hours. We're going to speak to one of our greatest ever Olympians and one of our greatest ever across all sports, Jamie Dwyer, probably the greatest kookaburra of all time. He would probably argue with that, but he was the hero in 2004, his extra time goal getting Australia the gold medal in Athens, a two-time Hockey World Cup champion. Australia into the semis of the World Cup that's being played in India at the moment. They'll play Germany tonight, and we're going to get him to preview that semi-final for us. Looking forward to having a chat to Australian sporting royalty. We're going to talk all things Vic Country Cricket as Victoria Country won the Australian Country Cricket Championships. Got to be careful with that one. So looking forward to catching up with the coach, Peter Buchanan. And when we're about 15 minutes before we're about to come on air, make it 20 minutes,
yep.
We would have thought, okay, Brett Phillips, our resident tennis expert off the top, because Stefanos Tsitsipas was serving for the third set and then he got broken. And we went, oh, well, the tiebreaker, he should wrap that up. Had too much points. And we're like, we'll definitely have Brett Phillips right off the top because this is done and dusted. Well, then he got broken serving for the match with two match points. Kachanov was able to save that set, take the set 7-6, but is now serving to stay in the set. He's 40 love up, but it's 2-5. Tsitsipas within touching distance of an Australian Open finals appearance.
It's been a bit of an epic, actually. A good fight back. And I guess that's the thing, isn't it? You put it all in it there at the end. Tsitsipas looked like he was rolling through, but as we've been keeping a close eye on it, a terrific fighting effort by, and the crowd like to see that. Kachanov did terrifically well, and he's doing terrifically well, and fighting away. It is now 3-5 or 5-3. Tsitsipas serving for the match now.
So before we get stuck into more tennis, and of course Novak Djokovic to face American Tommy Paul later on this evening, he's vying for his 10th Australian Open title. Let's get into the hot topic for APCO. Grab fresh food on the go at APCO. No, nothing gets the phone line ringing on the Harcourts open line, 1-300-736-736, your move, your Harcourts, or the 40 Winks temper text ticking, 0433-98-1116, then a good old-fashioned AFL rule change. So we've got an update. Kane Corn's most hated rule in football is what?
The stand rule?
Yes, he's on a campaign to get rid of that. Well, Kane will be happy to know that there is a change to the stand rule. Just not the one he wanted. So
The abolishment has not happened.
That has not happened, Kane. We're sorry. You can volcano about that on Monday when you're back with Jared from 5:30. 50-metre penalty is no longer going to be paid if a player fakes a handball while behind the mark, drawing the opponent off their position. So there's three rule tweaks. You, as a Brisbane Lions fan, are still fuming when Dane Zorko got a 50 against St Kilda.
My blood's still boiling over that.
Because Jack Higgins faked the handball. Zorks took the bait, had a little nibble, and a 50-metre penalty ensued. So there won't be a 50 paid against that when they try to fake the player out.
And that's the example, isn't it? That's the one that the AFL are using to say, Exhibit A, this will no longer be 50.
In addition, players have to make an immediate decision regarding the 5-metre protected area. So when the mark is taken or the free kick given, you either man the mark or you get out of Dodge. None of this, I might come, or is it me? And Stefanos Tsitsipas has held serve in the fourth set to claim it and the semi-final, and he is through. The first man through to the Australian Open finals. He has beaten Karen Khachanov in four sets. He will play either Novak Djokovic or Tommy Paul. That game to start at 7:30 tonight. And we're going to catch up with Brett Phillips in just a moment to take us through all the twists and turns of that encounter. But he is probably the most popular figure outside of an Australian at this tournament, given Melbourne has the second largest Greek population outside of Greece.
Yes.
And as a Greek player, he has been rolling out some Australian colloquialisms, a bit of Aussie slang, really trying to suck up in a big, big way as Stefanos Tsitsipas.
The tennis fans have eaten it up too, by the way. As they do, in any of that sort of humour, they're all over it. They're just gobbling that up.
As I said a few times, it's like the rock. It's like the band that comes to town. Like, remember in The Simpsons where he flips over the guitar and says, "Hello, Springfield." Yeah, he said us. Yeah. He knows where we are. So just getting back to these rule changes. So there's a video up on the AFL website that Darcy Moore, who wasn't in the contest but then opts to enter the protected area, he can't do that. He's either got to stand the mark or get out. You can't be in two minds about it. So he would now get a 50-metre penalty as he had left the area initially. Now, the third change, a player will no longer get an alert by the umpires at the 15-second mark of their set shot. This one drives people insane when the player shapes up to have a shot and then, oh, I'm going to pass it off. Who was it last year that we saw, and I'll get one of the guys out the back to check this, and you might be able to tell us off the 40 Winks temper text, 0433 98 11 16. I wonder if it was in a final. There was a player who the shot clock expired on.
And they went to take the kick, got smothered. Some really smart work.
So I'm trying to remember who it was. I reckon it might have been in a final. There was a player who had a set shot, the clock wound down, then the umpire called play on. It's going to drive me nuts.
No, someone.
Someone will know. 0433 98 11 16. We're going to hear, we'll get it after he's done it. Stefanos Tsitsipas is just about to have his chat on court, but I reckon BP's ready and raring to go. So we'll hear one of Jim Courier's ever so delightfully obscure questions in just a moment. But our man on the scene who's just watched this all unfold is Brett Phillips. BP, hello.
Hello, Sam. Quite happy that one's done in four. Always nice when the schedule can just stay on track there, Sam.
Yes.
No more 4 a.m., hey.
No.
He had it in the palm of his hands a couple of times, Tsitsipas. Third time's a charm, as they say. He was broken serving for it. He had two match points that were saved, BP, and luckily he was able to get it.
To play on this court and compete against the best players in the world.
We might just talk to BP first before we hear from Stefanos Tsitsipas. Apologies, BP. What did you make of it in four sets against Khachanov?
Look, it was good tennis. Yeah, really good tennis. I mean, we always felt going in that Steph was going to have the edge. And look, he should have got it done, certainly in that third set with a couple of match points. But, that's the pressure. It's hard to close out matches at times. And, all along we were just looking at where Khachanov was sort of directing the ball, because his forehand, Tsitsipas, is massive. And the backhand is where, he could get exposed. But, you don't always get to dictate, obviously, catch the very best players as to where you direct the ball. And, Steph, I think, his key tactic throughout the match, which worked pretty well, was getting Khachanov forward, because he's very comfortable on the baseline. But, that short little chip return or the drop shot, he used that to really good advantage. And once he gets forward, he looks awkward, Khachanov. So he didn't handle that too well. But his serve allowed him to stay in the match. You can see there, tight sets, those first three, and there wasn't a lot in it. But Tsitsipas, he's been good all tournament. I mean, his brand of tennis has been terrific. He has, some little lapses here and there where he can look totally dominant and then start shanking a few balls. Whether it's going to be good enough to take on, we assume, Novak on Sunday night remains to be seen. But, second Grand Slam final. So he made, three previous semis here in Australia. So it's a good step in the right direction. He's now got to run into likely a formidable opponent.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Djokovic is certainly that. He's got a formidable father too.
He's not there yet. Djokovic's not there yet.
I know that, but I don't know where to start, BP, because I actually want to talk about Tommy Paul, because he's been a terrific story, and it's been a great breakthrough for him at the Aussie Open.
Yeah, it's a good story, Bryce. He was equal with Taylor Fritz in the juniors. So, you know, we know Fritz has risen to become the number one American. They've got about 10 players inside the top 50, so it's a big, big pack. And then a lot of players between 50 and 100 as well, so they bat pretty deep. But Tommy, he was certainly equal with Fritz. And then a lot of those guys his age, Tiafoe, Fritz, Opelka, they all sort of overtook Tommy. Tommy wasn't as dedicated as a young pro. And then along came a guy called Brad Stein, who jumped in the river with Jim Courier a couple of times when he won here about 30 years ago. And he's added the discipline. And they had to have a heart-to-heart about midway through last year when Tommy was just sort of meandering a little bit. You know, wasn't as dedicated to practice, wasn't as diligent as he needed to be. And Brad said, well, if I'm going to travel the world with you and we're going to do this thing, we either do it properly or I'm out of here. And they formed a great relationship. He's got himself super fit, which you've got to be, obviously, to cope with the physicality of this game. So what can he bring to maybe trouble Novak tonight? He's got a great double-handed backhand. He doesn't hit us with much spin. So he hits a little bit flatter. And Djokovic loves to go up the line with his backhand. So that might cause a little bit of an issue if he's allowed the opportunity to play that shot. So, you know, that's just one little aspect. And, you know, get it out to Novak's forehand. Even though the forehand's been good, the backhand is his absolute sublime shot. So it's little openings that he might have tonight, but he's got to focus on those handful of games to start, because this is where Djokovic gets you every time. You know, breaking in the third game or the fifth game, first set's gone, you're behind on the scoreboard, and it's just almost impossible to catch Novak when he's the front runner. So let's see what the focus is for Tommy in the first handful of games tonight.
BP, I would just suggest, in my humble opinion, and you would hope that the coaching corner can either go two ways with this. You can either go, all right, let's get serious and let's get stuck in, and here's our plan, and we're going to... Novak has no real weakness from what we can see at the moment. Even the hamstring, we're not even sure if that is a weakness or just one that's being used as part of a narrative. Maybe he liked what Rafa did last year and thought, I could do that, the injury and all that. Look, in all seriousness, does he just go out there and say, I'm just going to swing for the fences. There is no pressure on me. There's no expectation on me. I am just going to throw caution to the wind, have as much fun as I possibly can. No one's expecting me to win, so why would I put any extra pressure on myself? And who knows what might happen?
Yeah, that's a good point. But I also think, Sam, that he shouldn't look at this as, well, I've got nothing to lose, because who knows when he'll get back.
Yeah.
To a Grand Slam semi-final. I mean, there are a lot of players
Fair
who just
point.
Have one or two openings in their whole career. So it's a mixture of, yes, he's got to play with some aggression. He's got to be assertive out there.
Mm.
He can't just, I mean, you know, Djokovic just toys with you a lot of the time and waits for you to overplay, because he's got such great control of his ground strokes. So I think tactically he's got to try some things. He's actually not a very smart player, Tommy Paul. He can work his opponents over. He can get them into difficult areas of the court, difficult corners to retrieve balls. And it's a bit of a mixture of both. But, you know, that decision-making and the cut and thrust of it all is going to be key tonight up against a guy who doesn't give you too many chances.
BP, we know we've got to let you go. There's a bit in the post-game to get through from this one. So Stefanos Tsitsipas through in four sets. Karen Khachanov, the second time he's been to a semi, I'm sure we'll see him there again. Good luck with what's to come tonight. The women's final is set. The men's final will be at the completion of this evening. Could I just get you to give us a little word on Jason Kubler and Rinki Hijikata? For the second year in a row, we've got Aussie men's doubles finalists. And who knows, we might even get champions for the second year in a row. These guys have been so much fun to watch.
Well, I think they're a huge chance, Sam, to win it, because they're playing an unseeded pair, as unlikely finalists as what they are when you looked at the draw at the start of the tournament. Look, they've been great. They've got great energy, incredible energy out on the court, great synergy. You know, Rinki is... And these two are going to be good tennis players in singles. I mean, Kubler aiming for top 50 this year, Rinki aiming for top 100. So this is a little bit of a bonus, which is, you know, great for both guys to earn the type of money you can at the business end of a slam to help them on their way financially this year. But, you know, if you can get that on the CV, no one can ever take it off if you're a Grand Slam doubles champion. So, yeah, highly unlikely going in, but I think the level of tennis they're bringing from the back, sharp at the net, they're crossing over well. They just know how to read each other. I think they can certainly win it with a parochial Australian crowd barracking for them tomorrow night.
And I agree with you, BP. Here's why they're even more in lockstep than the Special Ks. One thing that the Special Ks couldn't do last year, they could never execute the jumping chest bump to any great effect. They were always off the wrong foot. One was go up and one's going straight. They could never get it right. These two have nailed the jumping chest bump. It is perfect synergy. That's why they're going to win.
I was looking at the Bryan brothers today who won the Legends doubles. I think they're a little miffed. They're all a little miffed, Sam. They said, what's going on? This was ours. This was ours. 16 Grand Slam doubles titles, 119 career titles, and everyone's stealing our little chest bump. But hey, the Bryan brothers were so good. I watched them today. They could still play on the tour. Remarkable.
How old are they?
Well, about 43, I think.
Whoa. Amazing. That's a fair effort.
BP, we'll let you get out of here and get to the press conferences, and we'll hear you in action tonight as well. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. Pleasure.
Good man.
Our resident tennis expert, Brett Phillips, you'll hear him tonight on SEN. He joins us on the Australian Open thanks to the all-electric Kia EV6 GT supercar. It's a pinnacle of engineering. Kia EV6 GT, the most powerful Kia ever crafted. So one man through to the pinnacle on the men's side of the Australian Open draw, and that is Stefanos Tsitsipas. And this was him having a chat to Jim Courier after getting through that semi-final, four sets against Karen Khachanov.
Stefanos, this is the fourth time that you've played the semifinals here on this court at the Australian Open, but now you're into your first final here. How would you describe this moment?
I first watched Marcos do it a couple of years ago. Bagdaris, yeah. So I watched Bagdaris a few years ago, being in the finals, playing in this court, and I dreamed as a kid to maybe one day get to play on this court and compete against the best players in the world. So I'm happy with the fight I put out there today. And yeah, it brings back memories from watching it as a kid on TV and cheering him on. Unfortunately, it didn't go his way, but you know, he's in our hearts, and I always consider him as one of my favorite players.
I noticed you looking around, you were soaking up the atmosphere, you're feeling the crowd, and it must be an amazing moment for you now to finally joining Marcus from Cyprus now. You're in there as well.
He's here, thank God.
He's here.
He's here, yeah, somewhere. Look, I feel blessed. I feel blessed for the fact that I'm able to play tennis at this level. I've been wanting for many years now to put Greek tennis on the map, and me and Maria have done an incredible job, I think. I know it probably doesn't mean as much for Australians because they've been always producing players, and you know, they've always had their fair share of high top players, but you know, coming from a small country like Greece, I'm so grateful that I get support like this. I would have never thought that you know, I would be treated so well here, so I'm extremely happy that I'm in the final now, and let's see what happens.
It was not easy to get there. It took you 3 hours and 21 minutes. It looked like it might be able to end in three sets for you, but Karen was not in a mood to go down quietly. What was the difference in the fourth set? How did you turn that around? Because the third set, you had the match points and you didn't get it.
Well, I thought, you know, I thought how hard I've worked to get to this position, and, you know, it takes a little bit more. I wasn't able to deliver that on the third set, and I was extremely close to get it. But it's one of these moments that, you know, if you stick around, if you, I think, dedicate yourself even more, and if you concentrate on these important moments even more, it pays off quite well. And always, you know, having that ambience in the
in the background somewhere. Feels so good when I'm able to hit the ball and get such a reward back from the fans.
Well, you do the work. You're the one out here playing the points. You put the time in, but your team also puts the time in, led by your father. But you've also added some local flavor, someone from Australia. Mark Philippoussis also on the squad now. What has Mark added to the team?
Sense of humor. Serve and volley, which I never use, but you know, it's always there somewhere. It's there. If I need it, it's there.
So that's the first semifinal. There's another one coming up here in not too long that's going to feature Novak Djokovic and Tommy Paul. We're going to be watching it closely. Love to get your thoughts on that and wonder if you're going to take a peek at that one later on tonight.
Oh, we have a player that has played 9 or 10 finals here. I don't know how many.
Nine.
Yeah. Okay, you can verify that.
Yep.
And a player of my generation. I grew up playing with Tommy in the juniors categories. We played each other a lot of times in juniors. So it's a sort of beautiful as well to see him come from behind and be able to play those semis in Grand Slam events. And, you know, brings back memories for sure.
Well, you're going to be trying to create some memories. It's your second major final on Sunday. And you'll also not only be trying to win your first major, but if you win, that would also put you at number one in the world. What would it mean to you? What would success on Sunday mean to you?
I like that number.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, it's all about you. It's singular. It's one. It's you know, these are the moments that I've been working hard for, to be able to play in finals like this, but finals that have a bigger meaning than just the final. So it's a Grand Slam final. I'm fighting for the number one spot. It's a childhood dream to be capturing that number one spot one day. I'm close. I'm happy that this opportunity comes here in Australia and not, let's say, somewhere else, you know, because this is a place of significance. So let's do it, guys. Let's go.
Stefano Tsitsipas through to the Australian Open men's final on Sunday, and he will face the winner of tonight's clash between Novak Djokovic, going for 10 Australian Opens, and Tommy Paul. Great stories all round. Just before, we were talking about the hot topic for Abco. Grab fresh food on the go at Abco. Healthy summer salads, fresh fruit cups, fresh sandwiches. Grab fresh food on the go at Abco. The three rule changes today in relation to the standard rule. So no 50s for dummy fakes handballs. You can't be in two minds. You can't get away from the man on the mark, standing the mark, and then go back 5 metres. You've either got to stand the mark or make the decision straight away to drop back the five. There's no half and half. And then the shot clock on the set shots at goal. So they'll no longer get an alert 15 seconds into the set shot, 30-second clock. At 25, you will get the warning. Trying to think of who it was last year, Bryce, and it wasn't in the final, but it was a finals-like atmosphere. It was when Noah Bolter had his kick smothered, called to play on after the shot clock expired. Michael Frederick ran it down, and they ended up drawing that game with Fremantle, and it was when Noah Cumberland played on a little bit later on as well. So,
Tiger supporters are just grinding their teeth at the moment.
Yep. So it'll be the onus will be on the players to make sure they're aware shot clock started.
I don't think it'll change too much though. 15 seconds, it was just more noise from the umpire. Like 25 seconds, you're under the pump. Last chance, get in.
No, absolutely right. Australia are playing in the Hockey World Cup in India at the moment. They're through to the semi-finals, 10 p.m. tonight. One of our greatest ever, Jamie Dwyer, is going to join us on the other side of the break on Sports Day. Sports Day Vic, all thanks to the all-electric Kia EV6 GT Supercar. Sam Hargraves, Bryce McGain with you for the Macca's Aussie Angus Deluxe. It's Aussie Az. Speak to us on the Harcourt's open line, 1300 736 736. For all things sport, speak to us. For all things real estate, speak to them. Your move, your Harcourt's. We're back after this on Sports Day.
100% Aussie Angus beef, cheese, tomato relish and beetroot. Macca's Aussie Angus Deluxe. Two words, Aussie as.
The seven-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's most awarded large SUV ever. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer.
You're listening to Sports Day.
You certainly are, and we appreciate you doing so. You can call us anytime on the Harcourts open line, 1300 736 736. Your move, your Harcourts. Sam Hargrave is with you. Test captain number 410, Bryce McGain as well. Bryce, it was one of my career's great pleasures to have been commentating the Sultana Brand Hockey One League.
Yeah.
Which was back in a great fashion, in spectacular performances and matches all across the series that finished up in Bendigo with the finals there. And then a real honour to have commentated the Kookaburras in two of the tests they played against India in the warm-up to this Hockey World Cup, which is actually taking place right now in India. And Australia have pretty comfortably got themselves through to the semi-finals. They're taking on Germany, and they'll play either the winner, they'll play one of Belgium or the Netherlands, who contested the final in the last Hockey World Cup, with Belgium being victorious. But to talk us through this, we go to the very top of the hockey tree, and that is, there's not many above him, if any. He's got an OAM next to his name. He's been inducted into the Sports Hall of Fame as one of the best of the best. He was the hero when Australia claimed gold at the 2004 Olympics in Athens. His extra time goal sealing the deal and ending that drought, in incredible scenes that won't be forgotten by any hockey fan or sports fan. And he's won two World Cups. I speak, of course, of a man who could lay claim to being one of our greatest ever, if not the greatest. Jamie Dwyer has been good enough to jump on the line. Jamie, hello.
G'day. Thanks for that wonderful introduction.
Oh, we've got no time left now, Jamie, so I'm going to have to let you go. I'm sorry.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. What a thrill. Jamie Dwyer, everyone. Hey, Australia haven't really looked troubled except for the draw against Argentina in the group stage. It's been pretty smooth sailing. This side seems to have every weapon available to them. They've been really impressive to get to the semis.
Yeah, they've been doing well. I don't think they've played their best hockey yet, but I know there's enough experience in there to be able to turn it on, hopefully tonight and then again on Sunday. Yeah, the hiccup against Argentina. The defence has been a little bit leaky, even against Spain in the quarterfinal. It was 4-3 and they had a stroke with three or four minutes to go, and they missed it, thankfully, to Andrew Charter, who's been playing very, very good once again. But yeah, we've got weapons all around the field, so tonight's going to be a tough challenge against Germany, but I think we can get it done.
Jamie, is that a good sign that maybe Australia haven't played our best hockey, but they're still in this position looking pretty powerful to the future?
Yeah, I think they'd recognise that as well. I think in the Tokyo Olympics a couple of years ago, they were red hot and were playing really well. They just got beaten by a better team on the day in Belgium. A lot of things have gone our way. We're scoring penalty corners again, which has been our major asset over the last 3 or 4 years, especially with Blake Goers and Jeremy Hayward scoring at will. And all the other teams have really struggled. So Gonzalo Paliat, who used to play for Argentina, won a gold medal for Argentina in 2016, now plays for Germany. He's only scored one goal this tournament, which is crazy for his level of penalty corners. And the Belgium drag flicker, probably the best or equal the best drag flick in the world with Blake Goers, he's ruled out with a knee injury. So if we do get through to the final and we play Belgium, that would be handy for us with him not being there.
Jeremy Hayward, you mentioned, is our leading scorer, and I think the competition leading scorer with 7, but Blake Goers has got 6. 5 or 6 from my count. Is he the best player in the world right now, Blake Goers?
He's the best drag flicker and scorer in the world. I wouldn't say he's the best player. There's a lot of good players out there that play, you know, in different positions. But as a striker, you don't get the ball as much as possible, much as what the midfielders or the defence get it. But he's playing a very significant role. He's the most important player in the world, I'll say that. I think just because he can score. He can score from the field on his forestick, on his backstick. He takes penalty strokes. He takes shootout. He does the penalty corners exceptionally well. He's the best in the world at that with the other guy, Hendricks, who just got injured. So, yeah, he's very, very important. He has scored 6 goals. He did miss the first game, which I think Jeremy Hayward scored a hat-trick in that one. So Yeah, he's scoring. I think since 2020, he would have been scoring over a goal a game, which is just, yeah, it's, you know, every time he's going to score a goal. So hopefully tonight he scores five or six of them.
Jamie, I'd like your insight. The penalty corners, is that the coolest thing in hockey to work out the strategy of that and who flicks and fakes and does all that? How does that come together? Who decides that? Is that all coaching or do the players go, hey, we've got this cunning plan that I played with this team. How about we pull this together? Is that how it unfolds? And who makes the call on the day? Who makes the call that, hey, we're doing plan A, B, C or D? Or do you have special names for them?
Yeah, you have a lot of special names and you have like one A, B, C, D, two A, B, C, D, three. And the coach, so you have a look at the opposition and what they're running beforehand. There's some, you know, some things you might pick up on or some space that most of the time it's going to be when you've got Blake Govers and Jeremy Hayward at the top of the circle. Most of the time you're going to flick it at the goal as hard as you can and get the rebounders on there. So the first part is a push out needs to execute a very hard, fast push out in the flat. The stick stopper needs to stop it perfectly. And then it's up to Blake or Jeremy to flick it and miss the first or second runner and try and get it into the corner of the goal. And if it gets a rebound, there should be rebounders there. And we are by far the best team in the world at the moment and have been for the last 4 or 5 years over penalty corner attack and penalty corner defence. And that's why we're going to have hopefully some success.
So, Jamie Dwyer, who are we going to play in the final, assuming that we get there? But let's speak positively. And who, I mean, are we... Is this just destiny at the moment? You know, 2014, when you were there leading us to victory for our third World Cup, do we have all the pieces? And who do you think will be playing in the final?
We do have all the pieces, definitely. I don't think everyone is in as good a form as what I would have liked, but I think they know what they need to do as a team to get the job done. I think that... Yeah, well, Holland have had the easiest run into the semi-finals I've ever seen in my life. I predicted them not to make the semi-finals after like their current form coming into it. But they've just had a good run and they're fighting for each other. They're young and got nothing to lose sort of mentality, which is a little bit scary. But I think we'll be playing Belgium in the final. I think Belgium and us are the best two teams in the world. The other team I was really scared about was England, but they got knocked out by Germany, though. So 2-0 up with 2 minutes to go, and Germany did what Germany do and scored two goals in the last 2 minutes and won in shootouts. I was really worried about them because I think they've got the best player in the world at the moment and a few really handy players. But, yeah, I think we'll win tonight. I don't think it's going to be easy, that's for sure, because Germans never make it easy. They'll hold the ball. They're so structurally brilliant and, you know, they're fighters and we've had some battles over the years. So they're going to be tough, but I think we'll win and I think we'll play Belgium in the final.
Jamie, it's been an honour to have a chat to you on Sports Day. Thanks so much for your time.
Indeed.
Thanks, guys. Cheers. Have a great weekend.
The great Jamie Dwyer, Australian hockey legend. He was there in 2014 when Australia won their last world title, and we're hoping to do it again. 10 p.m. tonight, they take on Germany, a chance to get into the final where they'll play Belgium or the Netherlands. Great to chat a little bit of hockey. We're going to speak things a bit more local. Country Cricket Championships. We'll speak to Paul Buchanan next.
Sports Day for Kia. The 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's most awarded large SUV ever. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer.
100% Aussie Angus beef, cheese, tomato relish and beetroot. Macca's Aussie Angus Deluxe. Two words, Aussie as.
You're listening to Sports Day.
This is Sports Day. Sam Hargraves, Bryce McGain, test cap number 410 with you. All thanks to electric Kia EV6, the GT supercar, and for Macca's, the Aussie Angus Deluxe. It's Aussie as. 1-300-736-736, of course, the number to call on the Harcourts open line. And joining us on the Harcourts open line, Bryce McGain. And I'm really glad that we've got this man because you and I often chat all things cricket just when we're about to chat all things cricket in a live radio format. And I am constantly lamenting the lack of representation at state level from what's the question I always ask you?
Yeah, where are these? Are they a country or are they city?
Yeah.
Where are they from?
Where are
they
the from? Country kids.
Yeah.
Where are they coming through? Country representatives for Victoria and then the country representatives playing for Australia. But it gives me renewed confidence of the pathway system when I see that Victoria at the Country Cricket Championships have gone back-to-back. They won in Toowoomba in 2020. They've won again. I think they did it with a game or two games to spare. So I thought, let's get, or you thought, by the way, let's get the coach of Vic Country Cricket on, Peter Buchanan, to join us to just take us through the fantastic achievement from our Victorian country cricketers. Pete, hello to you.
Yeah, g'day, chaps. How are you going?
Well, we're very well. Congratulations, back-to-back. Given COVID, we're seeing in various sports back-to-backs achieved over a three-year period. But, hey, it was probably worth the wait, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it was a bit of a hard slog. Our pre-season selection, whatever you want to call it, was hard because all of October was wet. The first couple of weeks in November was wet. We couldn't get any indoor facilities at City Power or the MCG due to World Cup or under-19, under-17 squad. So it was pretty hard work to get a side together, but we really only had two Sundays where we had two tryouts in Bendigo, picked a squad, and away we went in January last week.
So what you're saying, it's a pretty remarkable coaching performance because by the sound of it, with limited preparation and all around the... It was so wet through that early period, we'd nearly forgotten about it. There was just no cricket being played week after week. If you're anywhere near a turf wicket, it was underwater. Mm. So it was quite incredible that you were able to get the guys up and going. But how did you go about cohesively putting them together as a team?
Well, I suppose, Bryce, 2019 Toowoomba, where they won it, we were lucky there was most of that squad available. So we really only had to pick about five or six new faces. Each state has to have 223 players. There was two new players. But our captain, Lee Stockdale from the Gippsland, really pulled together the guys and done a superb job. We had a lot of experienced guys that had played Premier Cricket, and one guy that had played one Renegades game that had gone back to the country, as in Braden Stepien. So we had some outstanding talent, but we were very well led.
You mentioned Braden Stepien. He was one of four that you had picked in the Australian side for the championships, Pete, and he was really the tone setter of what looked to be a fairly deliberate plan, and that was to almost bring a T20 style to the way in which you went about it. I think he had 32 fours, 8 sixes, and oftentimes you guys were going at about 10 and over. You really wanted to take them on and take them apart early.
Yes, we had another guy, Cam Williams, from, I always say, the bricklayer from Warrnambool, but he's been around a bit, and he sort of tends to bat the same way Stepien, and generally when two of them are going, only one goes, but generally most days both these guys got us off the flyers, and we're getting numerous calls after, you know, 7 overs, we're 70, and people are saying, are you playing 20 overs or 50? But yeah, we got away to flyers, and it just set our games up beautifully.
That takes a lot of pressure off the other batters who need to come in when you've... I guess it's so difficult for the opposition who go, well, we've got to get this guy who's going off strike, and then the other one at the other end is just as hot as well. It must really take the pressure off your middle order who continue to back it up as well.
Well, Nathan Walsh, who bats at four, he made the most runs in the carnival, got all Australian honours. He got 340 at 85, so, you know, it just set it up for him to come in and just control the whole innings, you know, pace the whole innings. We didn't need to... Because we got off to such a good start, you know, we could really set up the rest of the game.
Tell us a bit about your bowling attack.
Yeah, it was pretty steady. Cam Wheeler was a swing bowler from the Ferntree Gully League, but sort of fast medium, but swings the ball. So he got 10 wickets, bowled really well. He made all Australian. We had a couple of left arm orthodox. One, Jack Reichel from Sale, really good player, and our captain Lee Stockdale, left arm orthodox batter. He was really honest as well before he got hurt against New South Wales.
You had Cam Williams as well get the Ian Healy Wicketkeeping Award. You yourself were the coach of the Australian side. Pete, I know you weren't going to bring that up. But and after the women Vic Country players, they came second a couple of weeks ago. But you heard in the opener, I've long spoken to Bryce, and it's something that I speak a lot to Darren Berry about, who you sound a lot like, by the way. I don't know if you've ever been told that, but you do sound a lot like Chuck.
Okay. Well, I actually deal a lot with Chuck. He's one of my mates, so
you sound
I've
like
never
you...
been told that before, but anyway.
Back to the point. I'm a Bendigo boy, so seeing Braden Stepien do what he did, and I know you had Cam Taylor in the team as well. So it's great to see them doing well. But I get worried about, are enough country kids coming through the pathways? You look at the highest level, some of our Australian test team at the moment are from the country, but the majority are city kids. How are we going in that space with country kids getting their way through to the highest levels?
Yeah, I think it's getting harder. There's still a lot of talent out there that, for whatever reason, whether it's working on a farm or too far away or studies, if they're doing studies, they generally go to town. But, you know, we had 223 boys in our side, and one lad from Warrnambool, he's working on a farm now. He's an outstanding talent. His name was Ethan Boyd, but, you know, he's good enough to walk into a premier side tomorrow, but because of where he lives, you know, he's going to make it tough. But the word is that, you know, he's going to go to town next year and study, so that might be a chance for him to play at premier level and even play higher.
So but, what's the solution, do you think, then, Buck? Because, as you say, a lot of these guys just can't uproot and move to Melbourne for premier cricket. They might be able to if they're put into a Vic squad, you know, so to speak. But have to take that intermediate step to go and play premier cricket, surely we can make the pathway a little bit more, I suppose, fluent for them and achievable.
I think, from where I sit as coach, I would like to see the Victorian country cricket men's team be able to have more access to City Power and the MCG and places like that, where they can train with the state squad, you know, once a month or whatever it is, just to have access to coaches like Chris Rogers and these guys. I don't think there's enough of that going on. I think if you're playing under 18 pathways and 19th pathways or 17th pathways, they tend to get looked after, but there's still a lot of talent out there that is getting missed.
Well, it's a few late developers like myself, Buck, that would have been completely overlooked in my 20s when I first went to premier cricket. But, it's a terrific achievement by the Victorians. We love it when the Vics get up. What does the Australian coaching, accolade mean for you? And does it mean there's another tournament coming up? Do you play against other countries?
No, we don't. Well, unfortunately, Bryce, you don't get to play. You don't get together with your squad and play. It just means that, you know, you coach of the winning team of the tournament. And, you know, we got four guys in it. To me, it's just another accolade on your CV. I'm quite proud of it. I'm not sure whether I get a baggy green cap like the players, but if it's coming into my, I won't knock it back.
Well, as Bryce said, Pete, it's a fantastic achievement and a credit to you, a credit to all the players involved. Both carnivals really successful, second in the women's, and then to win it convincingly in the men's, a testament to you and the whole team. And you've done Victoria proud, and you've done country Victoria incredibly proud. So thanks for being with us on Sports Day. We really appreciate it.
No worries, guys. Thank you.
Peter Buchanan, after Victoria won the Australian Country Championships, and such an important role that he's playing, Bryce, and to shine a light on this as much as we can, because he's right. I think we're right. We need to find a way to not lose country kids at this stage. If they don't mature, if they're not ready for 17s and the 18s, you know, it's a big thing to have to say, well, no, you're just going to have to move to Melbourne and play premier cricket. Well, okay, what do I do for work, or what do I do for this? I think we're losing so many talented cricketers because the pathway just isn't quite right for the country players.
There's a better way. And one of the best players that I play with, who I love dearly, was Shane Harwood from Ballarat, a forklift driver who in his mid-20s was then invited in and was nearly fast-tracked him because of his skill. So, look, I really hope that they can open that pathway a little bit more, as you say. It is exciting. Hearing the country towns where all these guys are from, you know, these are the pride of the town. Like, they're representing their town. Sale, Warrnambool, Bendigo, Ballarat, it's uplifting for the whole country. It's fantastic.
And they've been writing stories in the Bendigo Advertiser every day speaking about what these guys have been doing, and before that what the women were doing, because Bendigo had a representative in the women's team as well. So congratulations again, and great to get the story told of Victoria Country Cricket's achievements. This is Sports Day.
Mm.
100% Aussie Angus beef, cheese, tomato relish and beetroot. Macca's Aussie Angus Deluxe. Two words, Aussie as.
The seven-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's most awarded large SUV ever. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. You're listening to Sports Day.
Welcome back or to Sports Day, whichever category you fall into. It's wonderful to have you on board with us. Sam Hargraves with you for your Friday evening alongside Test Cat number 410, Bryce McGain. Sports Day is all thanks to the all-electric Kia EV6 GT supercar. And for Macca's, the Aussie Angus Deluxe, it's Aussie As. Don't forget, you can call us at any stage on the Harcourts open line, 1300 736 736. Your move, your Harcourts. For all things real estate, speak to them. For all things sport, please ring and speak to us, 1300 736 736, or you can text 0433 98 1116. Bryce, hello again to you.
G'day, Sam. There's been plenty of good news around in sport.
Yes.
There is some focusing in on the AFL, focusing on footy. There is some good news.
There is some good news. So let's get into the sports update.
A sports update for Repco. For expert car service, book into your local Repco authorised service centre.
The first of the men's participants in the 2023 Australian Open final at Melbourne Park has been decided, with Greek star Stefanos Tsitsipas defeating Russia's Karen Khachanov in four sets. It was made to earn it. It wasn't all smooth sailing for Tsitsipas. He was serving for the match, was broken, and then in the tiebreaker had two match points that were saved by Khachanov to force it into a fourth set, but he got through pretty comfortably in the end, Tsitsipas, and he'll meet either Novak Djokovic or American Tommy Paul, who play 7:30 tonight, Bryce.
Yeah, a credit to him. It's not his first final to get through to, but did it with, yeah, had to push through. And as we heard a little earlier with BP, it's sometimes hard to finish those games. It's a semi-final in a major, and I guess he's got to live that to then keep growing and be better in the final. He's a live chance. There's no question about it. Should Djokovic go through, he's got the game too to challenge.
In AFL news, by the way, Matt Critchley, England late call-up for the season for the Melbourne Renegades, but played an important role in a game that you called the other night.
Yep, incredibly important.
He's going to join us, Melbourne Renegades all-rounder. We're on the eve of the finals. In fact, the first of the BBL finals is tonight, where the Sydney Thunder are hosting the Brisbane Heat. Thunder have won the toss, and they're going to bowl first. The teams, Dave Warner, Matty Jilks, Jason Sanger, Oliver Davies, Alex Ross, Daniel Sams, Ben Cutting, Nathan McAndrew, Chris Green is captain. Jason Sanger was captain, back in, but Chris Green's got the C next to his name. Ross Pawson and Usman Khedira. And then for the Heat, Usman Khawaja, Josh Brown, Marnus Labuschagne, Matty Renshaw, Sam Hain, Jimmy Pearson, James Bazley, Michael Nisa, Spencer Johnson, Mitch Swepson and Matt Kuhneman. Four of the test squad going to India in that side. Just a quick tip from you in that.
Heat.
Won four out of their last five to qualify. They've done that a few times, coming from nowhere to
The test players have impacted and made a difference and settled them down to playing some pretty consistent T20. I'm not sure they're going to go too much further, but I reckon tonight they'll knock over the Thunder.
Heat beating the Thunder tonight. Dave Warner, though, is due. Dave Warner is due. High score of 20-odd. Oh, hello. Little clip. Controversial from Bryce McGain. AFL news. We've spoken about this earlier, but the three rule tweaks made today, two of those to the stand rule, not the changes that Kane Corn wants. He just wants the whole thing gone. 50-metre penalty no longer paid if the player fakes a handball, moving the person off the mark. Yeah, common sense has prevailed there. Additionally, players have to make an immediate decision regarding the 5-metre protected area. You either stand the mark or you get back outside five. You can't sort of hum and ha and come and go as you please. So when a player is penalised for giving away a mark free kick or losing a marking contest, they must stand the mark or immediately leave the protected area. And no 15-second warning on the 30-second shot clock on the set shots for goal. You'll only get told at 25. The onus is on you. Once the clock has started, it's up to you to manage it accordingly. You are a professional football player.
Know
so
your
you
time.
Should. It's right up there on the big screen.
Yes.
And what about for the Saints? The Ross reunion continues.
He's bringing them all back.
Bringing Nick Sando's there as the AFLW coach. Robert Harvey is there. Brendan Goddard is back. I'm missing someone else too, aren't I? Lenny Hayes is back at the Saints. Well, someone who was an assistant coach. I reckon he was there for about 4 years, Steve Silvani, Hall of Famer. former Carlton legend,
yeah,
really.
Absolutely.
And I think AFL Team of the Century, and was their list manager for a fair while. When that ended in acrimonious circumstances, he was an assistant coach under Ross. I'm trying to think of the years that he was there. 2007 to 2010. He's gone back as the list manager. James Gallagher exited the club late last year to move back to Adelaide for family reasons. And Graham Allen, who's been at the club in an advisory capacity, he has been instilled as the club's head of talent and acquisition, both of those people to start their new roles on Feb 15. So the Ross reunion continues.
Yeah. Is that good or bad? From your perspective, is it good to
go... I think Soss is I'm surprised he wasn't snapped up earlier, to
be
honest.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Not specifically
enough,
Soss.
Back with Liam Stocker, who there's been about 32 trades that have been affected off the result of Soss trading up for him in his draft year. He was given a lifeline by the Saints, so reunited with his man that he moved heaven and earth to get.
He invested in heavily. Yeah, that's right. Do you think it's a good thing what I guess Ross the boss is doing, is bringing back the old firm and doing it that way? Because it wasn't ultimately successful at the Saints.
Yeah, well, it depends how you measure success, because I would say that under Ross Lyon, they were successful. They played in three grand finals.
Yep.
Obviously, one of those was a replay and the draw, but I think that is success.
Yep.
And some people scoff at that and say, no, premiership is the only form of success. Yeah, if it was maybe an eight-team competition, but to be consistently making finals as they did, then I think they were successful. They'll have to evolve. So I'm really excited to see how he adapts to the entertainment era of football, where we want attacking fast footy, not make sure you don't lose a game. You actually have to go out there and try to win a game.
Yeah.
So they will all adjust accordingly to that, but they all know how each other works. So I think it's smart. It lends itself to, I think, assuredness at the top of the tree.
I think Saints supporters are happy.
Yeah, it's a calming, look at the legends that are back. It appeases fans. Oh, how great's this, how great's that.
They've gone and learnt some craft and knowledge and elsewhere.
Yep.
And then come back and they bring in all that IP that they've grown themselves. Well, I think it's pretty good.
Hey, what I really like when any guest comes on the show is when they come with a plate. We all remember, whether it be our guest who obviously an Englishman playing clubbies, you bring a plate when you're home games and you provide the tea.
The afternoon tea. Beautiful.
So Matt Critchley, who's been flown in as a late inclusion into the Renegade squad, he has brought a plate. And on that plate, as three double passes to the Renegades final against either the Thunder or the Heat. The Renegades finishing third will play the winner of the Thunder-Heat clash, which is just about to get underway in about 7 minutes' time. So Matt Critchley, being the good man that he is, not only comes to the country late to play a part in the Renegades' run to finals, he comes bearing gifts. Three double passes to give away for the first people to call through on 1300 736 736 to their final in a few days' time. And Matt Critchley's been good enough to jump on the line. Matt, hello to you.
Hello, guys. How are you? All good?
Oh, we're great. But I'll tell you what, the people are going to be very pleased that you've brought those tickets. That's mighty, mighty generous of you. Welcome to Australia. Geez, you've come in at just the right time of the year.
Yeah, perfect. Just slowed in for a quick visit. Weather's good. Won a few games in some finals, so it's not too bad.
Well, it's a perfect landing into Melbourne. How did it all come about? Because it was pretty late to get the call up into the Renegades. How does it work? You're an English cricketer. You're succeeding over there. How do you end up lobbing into this situation?
I think it was something that was potentially in the pipeline a few months ago. Mick Lewis, the bowling coach at the Renegades, is now our bowling coach at Essex. So obviously that connection there. And then... just got the call late on when I want to come over as a replacement for a few of the guys that are leaving to the other tournaments, and yeah, couldn't say no to the opportunity. So yeah, got out here fairly quickly from getting the notice, but yeah, it's been good so far.
Well, it's great to see another Essex player here in Melbourne performing so well. The wicket was an interesting one. You've probably never played under a roof before, but the wicket had got wet in the afternoon, unfortunately, and it was a genuine early season English wicket. You handled it really well, though, so credit to you, and it was the main partnership that actually got the job done. Did you rely on that experience, those early season April wickets, to perform well?
Yeah, definitely. I was sat on the side kind of laughing with the lads. And I was like, I've come out here to get away from this and facing the white ball, not get straight back into it. But no, yeah, definitely. I've played 30 games at home now, so playing, being pretty used to them conditions. And I just think it's mainly about having a plan, but also having someone like Aaron Finch out there with you, like obviously all of his experience, he really reiterates that to you to have your plan and then just back it and try and be as positive as you can in them situations, because unfortunately it's not like red ball cricket where you survive for a period and it will get easier. You don't really have the time to do that because you can't really afford the rate to get too high on them sort of wickets. But yeah, it's like a home from home under the roof as well, so that was a bit surreal.
Well, Matt, you were able to put that winning partnership together. You're an all-rounder, so you've been playing in the 100 as well for the Welsh Fire, 2022 season of the 100.
He's a
so
leggy,
obviously,
mate.
This format you quite enjoy, the T20 format. Now, I don't mean to put you on the spot with this, but we've got a very regular listener whose name is Lee. Now, Lee is a dyed-in-the-wool Renegades fan, but he has a bugbear in life, and he believes that English bowlers just don't adjust to the conditions here in quick enough time. What can you do to tell Lee to just put him at ease, to calm him down, that you will be absolutely fine with the conditions here and will not have a detrimental impact on the Renegades finals run?
Oh, I don't know what I can do to put Lee at ease. He's obviously different over here, but I played over here 3 times over in Sydney in grade cricket, so it's not my first time playing in these conditions. And obviously a lot of the guys now, we travel all, well, my first time doing it, but the guys travel all the way around the world, so you get used to different conditions pretty quickly. But yeah, hopefully I can adjust and get a few wickets and help us keep going on the finals run.
Matt, you'll definitely do that. You're a leg spinner, and that's a key to it. You're not a dibbly dobbler. That was Lee's hiccup. He's going, these dibbly dobblers come over here and bowl the particular way. But Matt's ripping leggy, so we love him, and he's from Essex,
course,
and that's even better.
Of course,
better.
You love him. Yeah. Being a,
there's so many things
a leg
to like about
aficionado.
Matt. There's so many things to like about what Matt's up to. What are the who's in the locker room? Who have you really warmed to? Because it is difficult going into a well-established, you know, later in the tournament. But who's put their arm around you, and who are you finding yourself warming to?
All the lads have been brilliant, really. But obviously, probably gravitate towards some probably a little Cards crew, Sammy Harper, Jack Greswitch, and Will Sutherland. They've been good. They've been welcoming in there. Got a fair few lads at the WA boys at the hotel here, so. No, everyone's been brilliant, to be fair. But yeah, probably them lads, they're similar age to me and probably have similar interests. So it's been good to get to know them quickly. It's not really a group where I knew too many people before. I've played with Martin Gupsill back in England, and I think that's really about it of this crew. So it was a few fresh faces. And I think I landed in Adelaide on the Sunday and played on the Monday. So I was literally meeting people for the first time at the ground, which is interesting, but no, they've been very welcoming and very good so far.
We're speaking to Matt Critchley, English cricketer, now Renegades cricketer. They've got their final against the winner of the game that's just about to start, Sydney Thunder in the Brisbane Heat, in a couple of days' time. Matt, I've been Googling while you and Bryce have been conversing, because I'm trying to think of the last English leg spinner that I can remember, and there's an article saying England and the leg spinner, a terribly awkward romance. It's a Wisden cricket article. It's not something we associate with English cricketers, leg spin, is it? How did you come to be a leg spinner? And what is it about English cricketers and leg spin that it's never really quite gelled?
I think, like, to answer the first part of the question, I've come a leg spinner just like my dad played just club cricket in England from young and worked with him and then watched Shane Warne in 2005 Ashes, obviously the late great Shane Warne, that which many kids my age would have done, and that kind of inspired me to keep going and doing it, and the magic of that. And then also, like, growing up watching others like Anil Kumble, Stuart McGill, was lucky enough to do a couple of years with Stuart McGill in Sydney, and then a couple of sessions with Warne and Kumble. So that sort of thing, like, keeping going. But I was already on the path then, into my county cricket career. But so I've been lucky to do that sort of thing. And I think in England, like, I think in white ball cricket now, the romance is very much there in England. Everyone wants the leg spinners in the white ball cricket. I think red ball cricket is a little bit harder. Like, you get most of your wickets with seamers, and you kind of want the spinner to play a kind of a holding role and then potentially come into their own later in the game. But even that, you don't need the spin the most time. So I'm probably fortunate that I hold a position in the team back in the top six. It's given me a lot of opportunities to play more games than some of my other like compatriots have managed in England. But yeah, I think it is. It's coming more and more in fashion. We've got a few knocking about. Obviously, Adil playing for the main team, and then young Rayan Ahmed. He looks like a pretty good talent coming through, getting a 5-4 in his first game.
Have the Renegades reached out to the man sitting across from me, Test cap number 410, a renowned leg spinner, just took wickets for fun for Victoria, Bryce McGain, who's sitting in here with us? Have the Renegades set up the two of you for a play date or not?
Well, I think we might do it.
I'll have to get on to Sakes to sort it out.
No worries at all.
Sakes, where's that been?
Yeah, I'm happy to.
Surely you should have met him at the airport, Bryce.
I should have. I should have been there in the Datsun Sunny and picked him up. But, look, it's terrific that the Renegades have searched far and wide and found the right fit, because it is a challenge. What can we expect from the team on Sunday?
I think hopefully we just keep going on on the way we're going. I think to get the win the other day in the fashion that we did after the pitch was obviously a bit tricky. It was pretty comfortable in the end, even though you never knew for a little period of time. Mm. I think to have the experience we have in the team, especially in the batting lineup, I think if we can post a score and then try and defend it, or the other way, have the knowledge and how to chase the score down and hopefully a better pitch, but whatever pitch helps us win, I suppose, is the main thing. But yeah, I think a lot of calm heads in there. Our captain's won 2 World Cups for his country, so if ever a man you need to get an opinion of, I'm sure he's the one. But yeah, I think try and play a pretty fearless brand in T20 now. Like, I think you play to win all the time, and obviously in finals you can't think too much about the negative side of that result. But yeah, hopefully we play the perfect game and we keep going on our journey in this tournament.
Well, you touched on the experience of Aaron Finch. I guess that's something that you would have really just been embraced with in the couple of games you've played, is he's nearly a T20 walking encyclopedia at knowing what to do at the right time. Has that been an impressive part of this journey for you?
Yeah, definitely. I think not only everyone knows what you can do with the bat in his hand and on the field, but I think hearing him talk, this captain, how he like articulates how he wants to get his message across to people, whether we've won, lost, or it's at a training, it's brilliant to hear, really. And David Take has been very similar. But yeah, I think you want to be a sponge in these situations. You want to listen to him, Martin Guptill, Sean Marsh, Fawad Ahmed, Kane Richardson. The list goes on. You want to listen to them all and see how they go about it. But yeah, Finchie's he's very impressive as a leader.
Matt, you're 26 years of age. You've spoken about your love of leg spin bowling. Obviously, as you mentioned, Adil Rashid's one of the highest ranked T20 bowlers in the world for England with the white ball, and was part of the T20 World Cup success. Where do you set your goals in cricket?
Yeah, definitely. When I get into the England tail, it's something I've probably not been too far away, but never managed to crack. So after this, I go to Sri Lanka for an England A white ball tour, so hopefully make an impression in that. And yeah, my main goal is to play probably Test cricket for England, and then that's ultimately the main goal. And then after that, try and break into the white ball sides and go all around the world, hopefully playing a bit of cricket, and then yeah, keep going from there.
Well, you are at the right venue. Chelmsford does turn a little bit. I know you're batting in the top six. We're talking about your leg spinning quite a lot, and you're a top-end batter. We understand that immensely. But there is some advantage at playing at Chelmsford, a dusted end, but there also south end turns. So there's some support there that can provide some pretty good figures as well. Is that what you're finding is continuing to be the case at the venues you play at?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a point of difference we try and use to win ourselves games. So obviously we've got Simon Harmer, who's been the best bowler in county cricket over the last 5 years at one end, and then can try and contribute as much to that as I can from the other end, or step in when I need to when he's away on international duty or unavailable. So yeah, definitely one of the reasons I moved down to Essex, to play in a strong team in conditions that can be favourable. It's quite a small ground, so sometimes you can get get a little bit embarrassed there. But no, it's obviously a good place to play and a great bunch of blokes to play with.
Well, we're going to put you in the category of a great bloke. We've loved having a chat to you, Matt. It's great to have you in the country. Great to have you as a Renegade. We appreciate you coming on and just telling us a little bit about yourself. And good luck in the final that's to come. I know your eyes will be going straight to the screen as the Heat, after being sent in by the Thunder, are none for six at the minute. So good luck with what's to come. We appreciate your time and good luck with the rest of your career as well.
No, thank you. Thanks for chatting and hopefully catch up at some point. Thank you.
Wow, we've got to get Dave Saker to get you down to connect the two of you with Matt Critchley. What a great bloke he seems to be.
Yeah, he's a ripper. Most of them out of Essex are. I played a little bit for Essex, and so hence I knew where he was from and what was going on and where he's playing. And no, he's a terrific fella. And the Renegades are really pleased at going into this phase. It's a challenging situation that he came into, but they couldn't have been happier with the way he performed in that second game that he played.
Why haven't there been more leg spinners out of England? I mean, he spoke about Adil Rashid, but that Wisden article I found just by Googling it. I mean, the title of it is all you need to hear.
I think because it's hard. Mate, it's really hard. And I think the wickets don't necessarily – he explained it really well in the fact that they are more suitable to seam bowling and the ball nips around a bit, so then they need someone to lock up an end. And often that's a left-arm orthodox that just happens to come in and just hit a spot, or an off-spinner that, you know, turns a doorknob rather than they need an attacking leg-spinner match winner.
Can I just send a message to the beautiful Evie, who's texting a lot of information at once? Now, I've turned the phone off.
You know the fine.
No, I've just got a new iPad.
And
I don't know
how
to turn off the dings. So it's under the microphone, ding, 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 ding. So please, I will get to those messages.
I thought it was round two. I was about to put my mouth guard in. I thought I was concussed.
Hey, just a couple other things making news at the moment. Can I just give a big congratulations? I had the privilege today of calling for Golf New South Wales, the New South Wales Amateur, time-honoured, as prestigious an amateur tournament as there is in this country. 116th year for the men, 109th, I reckon it was, for the women, and it is essentially just the who's who of Australian golf that have won this award. When you have a look at, you know, Jim Ferrier, the first Australian to win a major over in the US, Peter O'Malley as well, and on the women's side of it, the great Kari Webb, and the list goes on and on and on. Harrison Crowe was looking to become the first since 1977, when Colin Kay went back-to-back, to do the same. He was in the final today, 21-year-old from New South Wales, who you saw hit the shot off the road onto the 18th green at St Andrews at the front of the pub. He did what Ernie Els did by winning the Asia Pacific Championship. He's now going to the Masters as an amateur. He's going
Wonderful.
To the Open as an amateur. So he was looking to win. But a 19-year-old Victorian out of Kew and Kingston Heath, Abel Edouard, had other ideas, and he actually won the New South Wales Open today in the men's. And congratulations to him. And 16-year-old Shyla Singh, who was runner-up last year to Sarah Hammett. She went one beater this year. 16 years of age, she beat 14-year-old Godiva Kim, who, if you just Google the name Godiva Kim, and you'll see a video of her at 6 years of age with a swing that we could only ever dream of having.
Wow.
Us weekend hackers. So congratulations to all the winners and all the participants. It is incredibly historic, that tournament, and as prestigious as any amateur tournament in Australia. And they were the winners at Pennant Hills, which is celebrating its 100th year. So congratulations to all. Another little bit of news too from an AFL perspective. Gold Coast Suns, massive boost. Noah Anderson, 4-year contract extension till 2025, averaging 26 disposals, about 6 clearances a game. He had 14 Brownlow votes this year. He's locked in as well. That's a big, big get. He is crucial to any success they're going to have.
Yeah, great news for the Suns. Again, Tigers are wincing again. They're gritting their teeth after that goal they kicked after the siren.
And a big thanks to Matt Critchley as well, who brought the 3 double passes to the Renegades final against the Thunder or the Heat, depending on who wins. Heat are none for 14 at the moment into the third over. 3 double passes to give away if you want to make your way to Melbourne for that clash. 1-300-736-736. That's 1-300-736-736. The sports update is all for Repco. 1-300-736-736. Sports Day continues after this.
You're listening to Sports Day.
If you want to get your hands on those Renegades double passes, 1-300-736-736 on Sports Day. We're here for Kia, the all-electric Kia EV6 GT supercar. And Macca's, the Aussie Angus Deluxe, it's Aussie as. Bryce McGain, what an incredible news story this one is in regards to the women's IPL. On Wednesday, the BCCI announced the sale of five franchises of the Women's Premier League, who we played in March. It made more money than what the men's launch was able to raise with more teams 15 years ago.
Yeah, so they're bidding for those franchise licenses, I suppose. And as you said, the dollars are there. There is an appetite for women's cricket. They have had a bit of a warm-up over the last couple of seasons. They've had three teams participate, and I guess that's a sounding board. Is it popular? Oh, my word, it's popular. Mm. And they want to be able to have exactly what the IPL is for the men. They want to have exactly the same for the women and have all the world's talent on show and be the best league in the world.
So the money, I think, is around $572 million that the franchises have raised.
Say that again.
I'm just trying to figure out if that's
sound like
US.
Luke Darcy.
Say that again. I'm just trying to figure out if that's US or Australian. But either way, $572.72 million for the five franchises and the TV rights.
That's US,
deal,
I think.
Yeah, that's US. The TV rights deal that Viacom 18 ended up paying was $170 million Australian for the media rights for the next 5 years. So India have already introduced match payment pay parity between the men's and the women's. Australia have invested into full-time women's cricketers.
Yep.
And other countries are now playing catch-up because they got in first, and they are one of the most dominant teams in Australian sporting history, let alone just in cricket, or let alone just in women's cricket. The salary cap will be about $2 million. Life-changing money could be about to...
Absolutely.
Aussies will be at the forefront. Talia McGrath, who was the T20 International Player of the Year as an all-rounder, I mean, she's just about to, her life's just about to be changed. I would imagine it would have to be in the top few that go.
No doubt. And she is powerful. She's skillful. She bats correctly with great technique. She's the current number three for Australia. And every bit, Meg Lanning, we often talk about, well, she's the most dominant player in the world. Talia McGrath has that. She's challenging that mantle, I suppose, and as are all the Australian girls. And the depth in the Australian cricket is quite remarkable. So it will be where all the eyes go to initially. Sure, there's other players around the world, but all eyes will be on those Australian players that will get picked up and they will be in demand. No question at all. And you're right, this is life-changing money for them. And I think it's terrific for the growth of the sport. Money's not everything. It is sport, but this actually will improve how the standard of cricket across the world. T20 cricket, I have no doubt, has done that. It's done that to improve Test cricket. I know there's an appetite and it's cannibalising a bit and they're saying that sort of stuff, but it cricket is on the improve in terms of the skill and the development and the watchability of it. I think cricket is on the improve because of IPL and T20 cricket.
So it goes now from being a case of making a living as a professional cricketer to getting close, not just, I mean, $2 million salary cap, you've got to fit a whole squad into that. So we know that these are some players that have made almost $2 million on the men's side, but it starts to get into a place of not just making a living professionally, but it starts to get to a place of starting to set yourself up for life.
Yes.
No question. What a huge step forward in women's sport this is.
It's going to be very exciting. What lies ahead is going to be incredibly exciting for a lot of these young women. It's going to be tremendous. And there's a real pathway. There's a pathway in this sport. It's not just, is it going to compete with AFLW or not? Well, cricket's global, and you can have one player and have five, six different contracts. We know that with the men's side, the women's side is catching up, and the pay disparity is ruled out in India, and Australia are more than likely heading along the same way. So there's growth, there's careers in it, and it's terribly exciting for all these young women.
Transformative, game-changing, these are the words that are being thrown around by the people in the game. Jonason saying it will change the cricket landscape forever. Women's IPL is going to change women's cricket for the better. That's Alyssa Healy. This has been met with, well, just joy and excitement and round the world applause for the progressive nature of it. Because people would say, oh, well, the reason why the women don't get paid is because no one wants to see it. Well, the BCCI disagree. The people investing, one of the guys that runs the Adani, one of the richest men in the world, says, I disagree. And Viacom 18, who put up 176 million, say, we disagree that there's not a market for this. It's huge.
It is. It is indeed. There's a global market for this, and it is a genuine growth sport.
Can I ask you before we go to the break? We don't have very long. But why are Cricket Australia fining players who are mic'd up, doing the sport an incredible favour, adding something to the broadcast that I can't think of another... I'm sure there is, but nothing's coming to mind a sport that does. But Channel 7 and Fox Sports have rightly complained to CA for fining Moses Henriques and Dave Warner for swearing. They made a joke about the umpire. Yep, we want to see umpires respected. But fining them $5,000, Dave Warner, and demerit points lost for Henriques, why would we do that when we ask them and beg them to be mic'd up?
Exactly. It's another... Unfortunately, it just seems like another opportunity that Cricket Australia are just managing something... the harsh way. There could be an education part. You know you're mic'd up, do the right thing. But I don't think the public are going to be highly offended by this. I don't think it's putting the game into disrepute, which is the charges that have gone through. It's stunning that they would have done that. And it seems like maybe another little shot in their own foot that makes them look a little silly.
It's part of the sell. Hey, you pay this and you'll get this. Players are now going to be reticent to step up because in the heat of the moment they might quit, or some of them might be within earshot of a joke being told.
But they're just trying to be themselves, and that's sometimes it. Just those words slip out.
Just a warning, just to say, hey, and maybe an apology to the umpire. A fine though to then really jeopardise them doing it again. I don't see where the win is in that. It is working against yourself. And I don't know how many times we have to continue to say that. We'll come back on the other side of the break with the BBL score. This is Sports Day. We do it all for Kia, the electric Kia EV6 GT supercar. And for Maccas, the Aussie Angus Deluxe. It's Aussie as the Heat are 1 for 35 after 5.
Sports Day for Kia.
The 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's most awarded large SUV ever. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. Cajun Chicken Deluxe with Cajun sauce. It's tangy, sweet and spicy. Try it today at Macca's.
100% Aussie Angus beef, cheese, tomato relish and beetroot. Macca's Aussie Angus Deluxe. Two words, Aussie as.
The 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's most awarded large SUV ever. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer.
You're listening to Sports Day.
Just time for a quick weather forecast. Thanks to New Farm Australian through and through. An absolute scorcher. In Melbourne tomorrow, temperatures across the state expected to reach mid to high 30s as well, but there will be a bit of cloud cover, and that's expected to remain on Sunday when temperatures are due to reach the mid 20s. It's been so up and down, the weather. We haven't really had successive, you know, real steamers.
Yeah, no, when you have 4 or 5 days of stinking hot weather, we have had some relief, so which has not been a bad thing. And thankfully, you know, there's none of the tragic fire situations, that real high fire danger.
Oh, touch wood. Absolutely, yeah. Touch wood. Make sure you are fire ready and fire safe. New Farm's products are formulated with the highest quality right here in Australia. New Farmer Australian through and through. Into the seventh over, halfway through it, the Thunder won the bat flip and sent the Heat in. They're 1 for 44. Labuschagne is 6 off 7. Usman Khawaja going along comfortably at 30 off 26. The man out is Josh Brown, who was caught by Nathan McAndrew off the bowling of the skipper Chris Green. Played just about to start in the second semi-final for the men's at the Australian Open. Novak Djokovic looking to get in to win his 10th Australian Open title, unprecedented, against American Tommy Paul. We'll give you a score update in just a moment. But as we always do, we like to finish up with a best of Sports Day. Because the people that we have got the privilege of sitting in their seats every Friday for the last few weeks, Bryce, Jared Healy, Kane Corns, one of the most exciting stories that came for of just the remote possibility that this could eventuate was a story that came during the week that the NBL are speaking seriously to Bronny James, the son of LeBron James, who is a high school basketball star, and asking the question about whether he would have, instead of going to college, the desire to come and play his first professional season in the NBL as part of the Next Stars program, which Josh Giddey was a part of. We've seen LaMelo Ball be a part of that as well. Larry Kesselman, who's just done extraordinary things, including the Next Stars program as the owner of the NBL, joined Jared and Kane earlier in the week, and here's some of that chat.
I loved this story today. The prospect of having one of the biggest names, if not the biggest name in the NBA or basketball, the James surname, this time in relation to LeBron's son, Bronny, the potential of him strutting his stuff in the NBL. It's real, and there's a slight chance it could happen. To tell us about it is the owner of that competition, the NBL, Larry Kesselman. Larry, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure. Pleasure. Good evening.
Is it a beat up or is this legitimately on the table?
No, it's a legitimate conversation. I think even LeBron himself very originally mentioned NBL as a possibility for his son. I think we're a legitimate pathway. You look at the number of players we've successfully implanted into the NBA through the NBL, both through the Next Star program and otherwise. I think we're absolutely a legitimate conversation, a legitimate pathway for him and for any amazing young player.
So for those just catching up on the story, Bronny James is the son of LeBron James. He's 18 years of age. He's about to finish basketball at high school, and there's a one-year gap period before he can either be drafted to the NBA or go through the college system. That can happen next year. And as you mentioned, the prospect of having someone that has done it, like LaMelo Ball and Josh Giddey playing the NBL, is real. What has been the response from the James camp?
Oh, I think it's something they're considering. I think there's been a lot of conversations around particularly a couple of colleges. I can see every reason why he would want to stay and go to college and follow in some, you know, pathways. There's close relationship with a number of colleges that they have. But if you look at the track record of the Next Stars that have come here, just about every one of them has made it into the lottery pick and ended up in the NBA. So we're not progressed enough for me to be able to say how seriously they're considering it, but I would be surprised if it's not a serious consideration.
Larry, how good a player is he?
He's very good, so we're certainly keeping a very close eye on how he's progressing in his training, and I do believe he's a legitimate NBA player. I do believe he will make it to the NBA.
Do they have such a thing as a father-son over there?
No, I don't think they do. I don't think they do. But they do have such a thing as commerciality, so I'm sure that'll play a long way as well. The prospect of him playing anywhere will attract a lot of commercial interest, so I'm not sure how weird it didn't be a welfare in that competition. I heard LeBron talk about them playing as a father and son as well. So, yeah, there's a lot of very interesting and no doubt commercial beasts are out to see how they can secure them.
So how do you determine where he plays, which club he plays for?
If he's part of the Next Star program, it's first done as a league deal, so we will have to do the deal with him ourselves first and make sure that he's secured, and then we'll vet interest both from the clubs and see how he fits into which program, because the number one goal for us in any Next Star conversation is where will they get the right development, where will they get the right time, and make sure that every one of them makes it to the NBA. So as good and as a bigger name as he is, he's still a development player and someone that's going to need a lot of help to keep getting better and play against men who are in a professional league. So it'll be very much which club can position him in the right way for him to succeed.
What's the pay structure for a player in that Next Gen program?
Yeah, it's a total negotiation. They're super valuable commodities and it's absolute negotiation. So the league will have to do the deal and negotiate that deal.
So is it hard to compete with the college system now? Because previously amateur athletes, they weren't able to receive any income. Now they can. And I mean, he would be, you know, I'm not sure what he would earn, but it would be millions of dollars from the marketing deals at college. That makes it a bit tougher for you.
It will be a very difficult commercial proposition, and that's why I'm saying it's a bit of a long shot, but we'll be in there and we'll be swinging as hard as we can and see what we can do, because it would be great for this league and continue the conversation, and I actually truly believe it would be great for him as well and for his development.
When will you get an answer?
I think it'll have to happen in the next 6 months.
Well, let's hope it's a positive because it would be fantastic for the competition. And speaking of which, it's been a really good year. You've got a couple of sides probably over and above the rest of the competition, although it's tight enough for some of those outside of the top two to come through and still make a name for themselves.
Oh, you've got six games in a row where a team lower on the ladder beat the team above them. So I don't think the evenness of the competition ever been better. So any side can beat any other side. You've had Illawarra beat Sydney. You've had all sorts of results. Brisbane now on three in a row. So absolutely loving the competition. The play-in tournament's doing the trick. So many teams still in it. And I personally still have no idea who's going to make it and who's not. So that's what you want with only a couple of weeks to go of the regular season.
Sydney would be a pretty good bet, though. Can anyone knock them off?
Well, they've lost a couple, so the answer is yes, they can be knocked off. But I agree with you. You look over the year, they've absolutely been the best performing and great team to watch. But one or two injuries, everything changes, and you look at what's transpired over the last couple of weeks. They've looked a little vulnerable in a couple of games, but they would be, in my mind, the favourites. But can they be beaten? Absolutely. Look at what Cairns has done, and you've got Melbourne United on a roll. So a lot of teams playing really good basketball.
And looking back to Christmas Day, you broke with tradition and you had a game Christmas Day. All the numbers seem to suggest it was a success.
For sure, for sure. Being first is always hard, and you've got people that love it. You've got people that might frown on it a little bit, but I look at what the numbers and people have spoken with their feet and they've tuned in, so we think it's an overwhelming success for us, and it's something we intend to continue.
Will you change the clubs up, or will you make one of them a cornerstone for that particular club?
Look, for me, the ideal scenario would be to have, if possible, local derbies to allow for players not to travel. Yep. That would be my preference, but that's something we'll still assess. That would be my hope, but we'll have a look at the right format. One thing I can say is we'll continue with it.
ESPN do a magnificent job with their coverage as part of KO and Foxtel. When is the broadcast rights up for renegotiation? Because it's going to be worth a bit more than what it once was last time.
Yeah, so it's one more year. So we finished this year and we have one more year with our partners and with ESPN and KO and News Corp. It's been a great partnership, and that's certainly something we've loved being part of. But that conversation will start in earnest again in our off-season now and through the next season.
What have the ratings told you? I mean, what are the numbers like?
We've grown something like 40%, I think, on ESPN, and the growth on KO has been huge. So people are loving what we're doing, and we're just going to continue to work hard every year and keep making the product better, and good things will happen. That's been our plan for the last 7 years, and we're not going to change that every year. We just need to keep getting better.
Good on you, Larry. Thanks for joining us. And the deal is you've got to come back on with us only when you get a bit more of an indication about what Bronny's up to.
Okay, we'll chat. Thank you.
You'll hear it here first on Sports Day, Jared, when Bronny and LeBron make their call.
Jared Healy, Kane Corns with NBL owner Larry Kesselman. And how's the temerity of Kane Corns telling the owner of the league what he will
You'll
and
do it
won't
here.
Do?
Wonder That's... if he's going to take his talents to St Kilda Beach.
Well, that would be an extraordinary boom for the game. Look, it's only a slight chance, but it's a bit like Lloyd from Dumb and Dummy. You're telling me there's a chance and you just never know what can happen.
Might be the right fit.
Hey, yeah, it's been another absolute thrill to spend a couple of hours with you on Sports Day. 1-61 the Heat after 9. Djokovic just held serve. Break point Tommy Paul had in the first game, but it's 1-0 on serve at the moment. So much sport on this weekend. What are you watching?
It's definitely the big bash for me. Yep. And seeing if the Renegades can shuffle their way further into the finals on Sunday. I'll have a close look at that and obviously watch this game tonight between the Heat and the Thunder.
So that's happening at the moment. The winner will play the Renegades on Sunday. The Scorchers and the Sixers will play tomorrow, who finished 1-2, respectively. There's the Australian Open finals, both women's and men's. We've got BBL finals, NBL, it's round 17, the penultimate round. Hockey World Cup, the Kookaburras played tonight at Germany at 10 p.m. Women's T20 Nationals, Australia v Pakistan. And, of course, on Monday, the NFL, the Division Championship rounds. These are the best four teams. Conference. It is conference. The Conference Champions. What am I saying? The Conference Champions. These are the best four teams for the season. And don't forget, you can stream it on the NFL Game Pass. NFLGamePass.com.au, because it's not an Australian website, Sam, you idiot. Live on the NFL Game Pass, visit NFLGamePass.com. Bryce, have a great weekend.
You have a great weekend too, and I'll be following all this sport. It's going to be an awesome one.
Kane Corns and Jared Healy back with you from 5:30 p.m. on Monday, depending on where you're listening and wherever you might be listening. Thank you so much for your company. Enjoy your weekend. Thanks to the team that put this show together behind us. Thank you, more importantly, for listening to us. The Heat are 1 for 63 halfway through the 10th, and it's on serve in the men's semi-final. So much sport. Thanks for your company on Sports Day.